Well, thanks to Jeff Doherty. Great interview talking about demons and exorcisms. We're going to come back in a moment and take your open line phone call. So I try to take the stairway as often as I can in our building. It's good exercise for you. You go down, you go up, and, you know, we have several floors in our building. So moments ago, I decided, you know, I had to go down to where the mailroom was. And so I popped down a couple floors. All was good. And had a few minutes to come back, came back up the stairway to the floor that our studio was on. The stairway door doesn't open. It won't open. So I frantically said, oh, my God, I'm going to miss my shift here. I called Tom, and he figured out something was awry, and he ran down and got me. But that's a first. That door is always open. In an emergency, but it locks. So I'm back, and we'll get your calls in just a second. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Couple hours of open lines. Friday night open lines are always a little different than what we do during the week because, well, the strange comes out, doesn't it? But let's go to the phones. A lot of folks have been on hold from last hour. So let's go to Sarah in Tacoma, Washington, to get this hour going. Hello, Sarah. Good morning to you.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hope you are, too.
So I'm calling because I was listening for the past about 30, 45 minutes, and I was hearing you guys talk a lot about shadow people and reminding me a lot of pretty much the last 10 years of my life. When I was about 10 years old, I was living up in Bellingham, Washington, and just out of nowhere started seeing this really tall, dark figure with a hat with a feather in it and a long trench coat on. And I didn't quite know what to make of it because he never really made contact with me. And then once I moved down to Tacoma, it kind of wouldn't, he wouldn't let me look at him like directly. I kind of just saw him out of the corner of my eye. And one night I got really, really angry and because I couldn't see him. And I said, I can see you running back and forth at the end of the hallway. What are you doing? And I heard him literally walk down the hallway. I could hear his feet on the carpet shuffling, and I could hear his breath like he was on a ventilator, like an oxygen tank.
Yeah.
And the light switched. The light switch went down and went back up. It didn't flicker. The light switch physically was pushed down and pushed back up. And I sat there paralyzed for, I don't even know, 45 minutes until my mom got home. I was only about 16 years old at the time. And I just sat there. And a couple other instances I've had with him was him standing outside of my door, you know, trying to open the door physically, like shaking the door, but not able to push down the handle. Him putting his hands over my face on the other side of my blanket when I open my eyes, and I push the blanket off my face, and there's nobody there. And so I've been seeing him a lot lately the past couple months, so I had my priest come in and bless my entire house. I've been baptized Greek Orthodox, and that's the religion that I practice. And he came, and ever since he came, it's whatever it is, a demon, an entity, a spirit, whatever it is, has gotten more powerful.
So oh, geez, that's not good. That is not good. We've got to get rid of this thing.
So I'm not really sure what to make of it, and I wanted to, you know, call and see if you had any opinions on that or...
But to date, Sarah, it hasn't hurt you, right?
No, and I'm 22 years old, and I've seen him since I was 10.
Okay, well...
So he's never actually physically touched me, but it's to the point where he scared me to where I thought he was going to suffocate me by pushing the blanket over my face.
All right, this is what you need to do. Go to Jeff's website. It's still linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Send him an email. Track him down. I'm sure he'll be responding back to you. He's very good at that. And try to get to the bottom of this. I mean, if they're trying to suffocate you now, I mean... That's a different ball game. I mean, it's not just ha 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 anymore. So do that and do that fast. I don't know what this is. A shadow person, an entity, something that follows you. Maybe it's part of you. But definitely get a hold of Doherty if you would. Sarah, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, we go to Tony in Corona, California. Hey, Tony, welcome to the program.
What's going on, George?
All is good. Good to hear from you again.
Well, you invited me to come and sing on your show, so here I am.
What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing a song called This Is Love. I wrote it.
This Is Love. Okay. Is there going to be music to it or just a cappella?
No, I play guitar, sir.
You got the guitar with you?
Yes, sir.
All right, Tony, take it away.
I see the glow in your eyes after we kiss. I feel your breath on my skin. You're everything I thought to love to be. And you're everything to me. Darling, I can't believe that's what you get.
Sounds a little like Elvis Presley, doesn't he?
Sharing each precious kiss. Now I know that heaven couldn't be any more than this.
Thank you very much.
This is love. This is love. And it's happening right now.
I don't know if I can talk to him or stop him. Hey, Tony.
Yes.
You can hear me?
You
sound a little like Elvis Presley.
Really?
You've got that little bit of mannerism in it. Good job. How long have you been playing like that?
Well, since I was about 15 years old.
Well, good for you, Tony. Thanks for checking in with us and singing to millions of people around the world that song that you wrote. You know, you got guts. I'll tell you that. You've got guts. Let's go to, speaking of guts, Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. You've got guts.
Hey, George, and all the Coast to Coast listeners and stuff. And thank you so much, George and Tommy, for what you do for us and stuff. I'm the God Goals and Guns man and the Bible Bullets and Beans man.
So who are you supporting for president? You want to go public? Not going to tell us yet, huh?
No, well, I want to say this. I started with Ben Carson, and of course, it's pretty much between Cruz and Trump, and then you got Bernie and Hillary on the other side. And to be honest with you, I'm leaning toward Trump because of all the stuff he's going through. The establishment doesn't want him, and with these death threats to his family and stuff, it's almost like Ross Perot. I was a Ross Perot man and a Ron Paul man, and they want to scare these guys out of here and stuff.
Well, yeah, and if the Republicans want him out, they're not doing a good job doing it, because the more they attempt this, it's going to backfire on them. And people are going to feel sorry for Trump, and they're going to vote for it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, George. I wanted to tell all your listeners and stuff, and George and Tommy, y'all are great people. Pray for Louisiana and stuff. We got a lot of backwater flooding and stuff with all these storms and
sure
stuff, places that never flooded before. They're just being overrun and stuff. And thank the Lord, it got over here a little bit, but it went on down. So we're pushing through all this water here.
We'll put you on the intention list, and hopefully water will simmer down, huh?
Remember, one, if you can, you know my favorite song with what's the guy's name? You know him.
What's the song?
Oh, Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, Wonderful World. We're going to be playing that tonight. It's already slated to be played.
Great.
Okay?
All right, y'all take it easy.
All right, you too, Cornelius. By the way, the drought in California that they've had for several years, they're starting to relax the drought restrictions because they've had a lot of rain over the last couple months. And lakes that were totally dry. You know how when clay gets dry, it cracks up? It's all filled up. The lake's filled up. So now they're beginning to say they had restrictions on people in terms of how much water you could use. They would penalize you. They would fine you. F-I-N-E. They could also find you, I guess. F-I-N-D. But they will fine you if you use too much water, if it goes over your allotment. I think they're starting to relax that now because the reservoirs are filling back up again. Tom, you've got a text for us?
I do.
What do you have?
You know, I never do not smile when Cornelius calls.
He's a,
I don't know why.
You know what? He's a nice guy. He went through a very rough time, as a prison guard. He's bounced back, and he seems to be doing well.
He just always makes me smile.
Good guy.
Johnny from South Carolina, he texts in. He says, "Hey, George, I was listening to your last guest, and I don't want to tell you what I think, but I'm curious as to how much of your guest's stories in general do you believe?"
It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what you believe.
Correct.
That's the important thing. Look, this is a different kind of program. The stories that we deal with are far-fetched, strange, and out there. And logic would tell you, none of this is real. But you can't say that, and I can't say that.
No.
Because there's some stories are real. And it's not the kind of program. Look, there's a difference between being stern with somebody, but it's not the kind of program where you just chastise everybody all the time for their belief system. Look, if somebody claims that they've been abducted by a UFO, I'm not going to go after them and tell them you're nuts, you're crazy, or they saw Bigfoot. No, you didn't. That's not what the program's all about. So in terms of what do I believe? Obviously, I don't believe every story I hear, but I'm not out to chastise that. So you'll never know the story I don't believe. You'll simply sit back and go, that's possible.
Could you imagine this with some of the other hosts out there in the days? It'd be terrible because they'd be so biased. But you
can't do that.
You can't. Absolutely not.
You know, and it's politically, it's the same thing. We don't, I've told people we don't do politics. What we do though, is human interest. And when we have been talking about prophecy and predictions, that to me is important in this election. The mindset of people, how someone like Donald Trump could win so many primaries over and over again when, what he has found is the pulse of frustration. That song by Twisted Sister,
We're not going to take it.
That's exactly what's happening these days.
Agreed.
Let's take some more and fill up my lines. Tom, these lines are ringing like crazy. Let's go to Wayne in Lakewood, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hey, Wayne, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, George. Hey, this is one I think you'll never forget because I think it was one of the only one interviews that you did. A man out of New York City whose job it was to work at the United Nations building to introduce the unseen spiritual forces of the world to the leaders of the world at the UN.
That was a long time ago.
Right. And I don't know if you recall or remember, but his former job had been for Lucas Publishing Company, which had prior been known as Lucifer Publishing Company.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's fitting, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'll never forget how you said, I think you even cut the whole interview short because he creeped you out so much.
Benjamin Krem.
That's right, Benjamin Krem. Yeah. And I'll never forget the first time I came across him, believe it or not, this is in 1982, I was watching a Superman cartoon with my three-year-old son, and he was on the Superman cartoon doing the same job. At the United Nations building, and they were introducing this stuff to little kids at this time.
Wayne, people were sending me messages, instant messages, that they were getting sick, physically sick, as he was talking over and over again.
Yeah.
And I thought, my gosh, how can you get physically sick just listening to somebody? Well, after about 10 more minutes, I was getting a little nauseous and queasy.
Yeah,
it was weird. And then when we cut the interview short and sent him on his way, he was supposed to represent the Maitreya, but some people think the Maitreya is the Antichrist. I felt fine. I felt good once he was off the air. It's weird. I mean, he comes across as a nice guy.
Yeah, and it's really weird. And then on the opposite end of it, there's a Jesuit priest by the name of Alberto Rivera. And his job was to work at the so-called secret library at the Vatican.
Sure.
And he has all types of information on this subject.
Okay. We'll check into that. Good stuff. Let's go to Barbara in Los Angeles. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I just wanted to sing the praises of landlines. They're not gone yet.
I know. There's not many, though.
I know, but I swear by mine because I can have back-to-back conversations and I don't have to recharge my landline.
It's a great backup. I've got a landline in my places, too.
And also, since I'm in earthquake country, it's really recommended by a lot of different people to have a landline.
What did you think of that guy singing?
Well, I'd rather not comment on that. I'd rather say something positive.
Well, he sounded a little like Elvis, though, didn't he?
A little bit, yeah.
You could tell the mannerisms, thank you very much, that kind of thing.
Anyway, I have a friend who has a landline that's 90 years old. He has a candlestick phone.
A 90-year-old landline? They've never fixed it or replaced it or fiber-opticed it?
Well, I mean, I don't know if the landline itself has been worked on, but I may have misspoken, but he has a 90-year-old replica of a candlestick phone.
That's amazing. I bet that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is, and we've talked on it, and we always trade commiserations about the electronic age and how we're kind of out of the normal mainstream.
Favorite subject on the program, Barbara? What do you like?
I think I like the consciousness programming. I really enjoy that.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a little bit of everything for everybody. Will is truck driving in Illinois. Hey, Will. Go ahead. How's the weather out there, Will? Super. I'm going to be in St. Louis next few days, but is it turned spring yet?
I'm up in Iowa, actually.
Okay.
And, Tommy, listen close.
There you are. You are indeed a truck driver.
He's going to kick me off if I didn't be able to blow a horn.
Yeah, he doesn't have that kind of power. He doesn't.
I'll grant it to him.
You got it. What's going on, Willie?
Well, you know what? When people talk about being able to prove a story, here you go. You ready?
All right.
I was on hold Tuesday, Wednesday morning, but you ran out of time.
And we may run out of time here, and I'll put you on hold and then come back for you. How long is the story? Give me an idea.
It's a dog story because you've been talking about dogs.
All right. Well, hold on because I've only got about 30 seconds for the break. So I'll get you. You'll be the first caller that I grab when I come back. So you said you're in Iowa. Tom had you up in Illinois. You must have driven all the way across already. You've been on hold for a while. But we're going to come back in a moment, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, by the way, to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram now. Like the Pope. The Pope has his own Instagram. Franciscus is his handle. And we've got ours. Coast to Coast AM is our handle. We'll be back. There you go, Cornelius. That one's for you. Hey, it's time for our shout-out. Those of you who listen to Coast on our 615 radio stations across North America, thank you. Coast Insiders, thank you. And then Sirius XM Talk channel listeners, 146. And then the various chat rooms that are out there, Into Infinity, Imaginative Worlds, Fantastic Forum 2, now the ParanormalDate.com group, Instagram, those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Sorcery IRC. How about the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, and our buddies from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Thanks for supporting us. And, of course, Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Get that barbecue grill going, Greg. I'll be there soon. Okay, welcome back to Coast Line. Let's go back to Will, who's truck driving in Iowa. Will, what do you got for us about this dog story?
Well, like I said, it's a provable story because you can go online to the Barstow Humane Society and they have a GoFundMe thing for them. Because my wife and I drive together, she drives too, and we stop at this Barstow truck, it's just a car wash, truck wash, and if we can, we get the truck wash, we get out, we wander around the desert. I was moving the truck out of the truck wash to get dried, and she comes up to me all pale and shaky. She goes, "Oh, honey, I think you're going to have to kill this little puppy. He's near dead.
Oh.
Somebody chopped his front paws off." And I said, "What?" And so I grabbed some gloves and I grabbed a knife, and I'm thinking, all right, I'll just, you know, if nobody, because it's Saturday, and nobody, I'm not from California, I don't know if they're working at the Humane Society, so I'm thinking, oh, I'm getting sick to my stomach, I'm going to have to kill this dog. I get there, And he's alert and awake. And I said, honey, look at him. Yeah, and then I looked and there was no bad infection, no pus, or no
But the paws were gone, right?
Yeah, the left one, you could see the tendons at the wrist.
Oh, my God.
You could see the bone marrow. The right front one was about halfway chopped off. And we kind of thought maybe he got in a trap or something.
Right.
We tried to get hold of a Humane Society, and we called the police. And then finally we got a hold of a Humane Society guy, and we're sitting there waiting for him. And we have a chocolate lab. My wife spoils.
I had one too, a chocolate lab years ago. Then yellow and black. Great dog.
Yeah, the Tuesday or Wednesday morning I called in. You just said you did, so I thought I'm going to call in about this dog and help. Maybe, you know, if people want to help this dog, you can. You can go online and help pitch in for him. Because the guy was saying he finally showed up, and I was almost going to say, well, if this looks so bad, we're going to be home in 2 days back to Michigan. We got the dog, we got vets and our friends, maybe they'll. You know, they'll let us make payments, and we'll do what we can. Because he's alert and alive, and he ate a breast of chicken, and is drinking. And I said, honey, I'm not killing this dog.
Well, you would have thought, well, that he would have bled to death.
Well, that's what you did. But I think he got so much sand jammed in there that it clotted the blood. And the infection, because there weren't very many flies, just a few. But it wasn't fussy. It didn't smell bad. And he was emaciated, so he'd been out there for a while. Well, come to find out, the guy showed up, and right when I was getting ready to get a box and we're taking him home, the Humane Society guy shows up and he goes, well, I don't know, you know, they really had to severely cut their budget to only $10,000 a month. And I'm like, oh, man, he's going to cost at least half that. And then he said, well, I'll take him in. And then I was just going to say, nah, we'll just take him. And I didn't know the rules or laws, so I didn't want to push it. Anyway, they took him. We found out, called over to see what's going on, and they decided to try and save him. So, the vet bill is going to be high for that. Turns out, and you can go online and see the x-rays, and his name is Vernon. They named him Vernon because of the truck wash right next door where we found him. He had been shot with a shotgun. Somebody shot him. And they say as whoever it was, as they were walking away, they turned back with some other kind of device, and shot him a couple more times
Sick people.
Fits. And the dog, he was alert. He let us come near him. But our chocolate lab comes up to him, and he growled at him. He said, get away from me. So our dog backed up and said, okay, buddy, I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, you've had enough problems.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is you can go online, and this is a story you could be sickened by and heartwarmed, and you can help. So I'm telling people, here's a story you can verify and help that poor little dog. Because they're almost at their limit on their monthly budget on this one poor little dog. And his name, like I said, his name is Vernon. He's a cute little dog.
Vernon.
Yep.
So what do we do with the lowlife who shot him if we ever found him?
They put up a $500 reward. We heard that somebody is going to even double it. So they put up a reward for him. And he was found just right next to the Vernon Truck Wash in Barstow, California on Main Street.
They found the guy?
Well, no, that's where the dog was.
Oh, the dog was.
If you know anybody in that area, because there's a trailer park that's just on the other side of the truck wash, you know, where it might have been, you know, I don't know. It's a pretty big area.
If he's smart, he doesn't brag to his buddies about it. That's despicable.
What? Yeah, but people like that, they want recognition for crap like that, you know?
Yeah, he's going to tell somebody. And let's hope that person turns
it around. It already hit the L.A. News. They had it on channel, whatever, 7 or whatever it is over there.
All right.
Sure. But yeah, this is something people get involved in. Help him out with the bill. Help out the clinic. Because they only had, because the guy said he wasn't sure if they were going to be able to help him because of the budget. Because they only have 10
So as of right now, what's going on with the dog?
Well, they did his paws and everything, and they're doing more surgery to see if he can. They did the, you know how that stumps, they'll cut it and they'll have a skin flap go over. If they can make it tough enough, he can walk on that. Otherwise, they're looking at, he'll just be a lay around dog, or maybe they can make prosthetics.
Yeah, they could. They could probably do that for him, like little shoes.
That's the thing. That's the money issue, you know. It's heartening. But, you know, if the George and Ori's people want to help out, get your army fired up. Not only try to catch this guy, but help that dog have an awesome life.
And how do we find him?
The Barstow Humane Society, their web pages, they're featuring them big time.
Okay.
He has a GoFundMe page. I think I'm pretty sure you can get all the information you need on there.
All right, we'll check into that. Will, thanks, and good for you doing what you did. Truly remarkable. Let's go to Limestone, West Virginia. Buck's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Buck.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for doing that Coast Insiders promo for me.
Oh, that was my pleasure, and I think mine was one of the better ones, but that's, you know. Anyway, you know what? He's talking about those dogs. I had a chocolate lab, and we had to have him put down about a year ago, and we called him Satchel. And he was the greatest dog, and I'm not kidding you, George. I haven't got a dog to replace him because I cried like a baby when I had to dig his grave and bury him.
Oh, yeah.
And I still get choked up when I think about it.
Absolutely. They become family.
You see, they certainly do. They certainly do. But anyway, what I was calling you about, my wife and kids got me a Sea Crane radio for Christmas, so it was CC2, I think it's
called. The 2E.
That's it. And anyway, so the other night I was listening to the shortwave band. And anyway, I came on a channel where there was like a guy, and he was just calling out numbers.
That's the numbers channel. We think it's a code for some spy ring.
Well, okay, now that's great because the next day I went to work and I called this guy that retired that used to be a ham operator, and I think he still is, and he said, "Oh, Buck, that's the old CIA station. I'm surprised you got into that." He goes, that's what they're doing is they're calling out codes to operatives in places, in far-flung places, you know, that tells them what to do or something. I don't know. I just wondered if you'd ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that a lot.
It's just
numbers. It's called the numbers station, and it's like a shortwave station, and they just give out numbers. That's all they give out.
I listened to it for about an hour and a half, and that's all it was numbers.
Yeah, if you can go to Wikipedia, put in numbers station, and it'll pop up.
Okay.
All right.
I'll try that. Nice talking to you.
Okay, Buck, you too. Let's go next to Daniel in Middletown, California. First time caller for Daniel. Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate
my call.
Sure thing.
So I grew up in Petaluma, California, and I have a girlfriend of 14 years now. We've been together, and we have two daughters, a 3-year-old and an 11-month-old.
Marry that girl, Daniel.
Oh, we're working on it.
Okay.
It's a money issue. But anyways, we moved to Clear Lake just last year into a little mobile home. It's like a double wide. And I was supposed to do work for the lady, the owner of this place. In exchange for a reduction off the rent. And from the moment we moved into this place, it just wasn't a very comfortable feeling, you know?
Right.
And I would go up on the weekends because I commute to Sonoma County, two counties over, for work. But I'd go up on the weekends before we even moved in to work on the place to get it at least livable so that we could move in. And when I was there, I couldn't even stay in the bedroom. I just didn't feel comfortable. At night, it got really bad, just the feeling, you know? And I didn't say anything to my family about it, but we lived there for 3 months, and my girlfriend and I we'd hear footsteps, and there was like, there's a tree. There's a lot of trees around the house, the property. There's a lot of animals. And we'd hear what sounded like footsteps from one end to the other on the roof. And we just kind of brushed it off, you know. And a lot of strange occurrences. And our 3-year-old daughter would started saying really strange things and talking about really weird things.
Scary things?
Scary things, like ghosts. and she would talk about a spooky man.
So, yeah, they see them when they're kids. They see these things.
Yeah, and when I was at work, a lot of times my dad still lives in Sonoma County, so I'd stay there some nights, just because the drive is 2 hours to commute. So I would get call from my girlfriend, and my daughter would just be hysterical, crying at night, wanting me to come home, and just was not happy. And I thought it was just because it was a change of atmosphere,
sure,
from us just moving, and the stress of that. So I spent as much time as I could there, but ended up having bad ties with the landlord. She wouldn't pay for the repairs that needed to be done on the place. She was expecting me to live there, pay rent, and
fix everything up.
Right.
It's different. If you had done it, I'd say, yeah, you have to do it. But no, the general repairs belong to the landlord.
Exactly. And they were like the previous tenant just destroyed this place. So, I was trying to help her out.
So I assume you moved out then?
Yes. So we made plans to move out. And we actually stayed in a hotel for 2 weeks before we found the place that we're in now in Cobb, Middletown. And it's just a beautiful place and a beautiful piece of property.
No more problems with the kids?
My daughter seems like 100% better. But a week before we moved out on the 1st of January, and my girlfriend was going through her phone. She had a prepaid phone because our typical AT&T didn't work out there. So
okay,
she had a prepaid cell phone. It was the old Tipo. And she was looking at the pictures on there, and there's like a picture she took on 12/14/15, and there it's of my daughter, my 3-year-old, and there's the clearest, most definitive face right in front of her.
And where was the picture taken? In the new place?
Yeah, no, in the old place.
In the old place. Okay.
We were packing. When she noticed the picture,
I am
2 weeks prior and didn't.
I'm glad, Daniel, you got out of that place to be sure. Don't go back. Let's take a text from Tom. Tom, what do you got for us?
Gary in San Bernardino, California. My sister is a UFO fanatic. She believes aliens walk and live among us. George, what are your thoughts?
I think they do. I think that if you believe in extraterrestrials, they're here and they have fit in with society for whatever reason.
They have to be.
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer.
You know, that was one of the saddest dog stories I think I've ever heard.
Who would do something like that?
A terrible human being.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, what would you do if you caught somebody? I shouldn't ask you.
Yeah, I can't even go there if somebody did that to my dog.
I mean, is that self-defense if you do something to somebody like that? If you saw somebody trying to shoot a dog and you got in the way, and let's say you had a gun, you had a concealed weapons permit somewhere, and you pulled it on the guy and said, stop it, drop it, and he didn't. I think you have a right to defend yourself and the dog.
So
don't
do
you?
I. You're saving a life. Yes.
And your own.
Yeah.
I just can't get over people who abuse animals like that. Okay.
Let's move on.
Let's go to Chino Hills, California. Cindy's with us. Hello, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi there.
I wanted to call and kind of give some advice to Sarah, a previous caller, who was really frightened by what sounds like a ghost.
Yeah.
When I was a very young child, like 3 and 4 years old, we lived in a house in Wilmington, California. And I didn't have the vocabulary yet to try and, describe what it was that I was seeing. Now that I look back on it, it was what sounds like shadow people, or a shadow person is what I was seeing. And it would like feed off of my fear. It just seem to give it energy.
I hear a little kitty in the back.
Yeah. Yes, yes. She wants me to turn on her lighty toy.
Animal night.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, my mother was saying that it was nightmares, so I called it nightmares, you know. But she would wake up in the morning, and I would be in bed with her. And I would tell her that, you know, I was having nightmares in my room. And everybody was convinced that I just wanted to sleep with my mother and didn't want to sleep in my own room. And so what she did is she traded rooms with me temporarily. And there was no problem when I was in her room. It was only in my own room that I would see these visions. Ultimately, she said, you know, Cindy, it's okay. You can sleep with me anytime you want. Well, my last memory of a vision was, you know, I was sleeping in my mom's bed and I woke up. She was next to me. I woke up and I could see this orb coming down the hallway towards my mother's room. And I said to it, you know, when she was sleeping, I said to it, I am not going to be afraid of you anymore. My mother said I can sleep here, and you're not allowed to come in here.
That's the way to do it.
And I never saw it again.
See, you stood up to it, and you won. Hey, those of you on hold, just hang there, because I'm going to come right back, and we've got a final hour to go of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. You're not going to bed yet.